morning. Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2. Hey, listen. If that right there didn't... What's the old fella say? If that didn't start your fire, your kindling's wet. Yeah. This is working out perfect. We went downstairs a while ago and we fed the flesh. Yeah. I'm going to come up here and we're going to feed the spirit. Feed the soul, and we're going to be from the flesh to the spirit in this message, okay? What did I say? 138, verse 2. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. We're supposed to praise his name. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Right.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we surely love you this evening. We thank you, thank you, thank you so much for a church that emphasizes the Word of God. Because if I read that verse right, you kind of emphasize the Word of God yourself. Lord, we pray tonight that we could hide me, Lord, somewhere out of sight. May we see your word and your son lifted high. God, we pray this evening that we would do nothing but glorify you. Lord, we thank you for this privilege. We thank you for our pastor, Lord, and our sister pastor. Lord, we thank you for them allowing us to stand here in this place. Lord, we don't take it lightly. And God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that you inspired and that you preserved and that you've kept and will keep through all eternity forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled. As far as I'm concerned, it's settled on earth just as well as heaven. And God, we thank you and praise you and love you. Help us, we pray. I need your help. God, I need your help. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And before I get started, I just want to apologize to whoever or anybody that might be offended by some of the things that I might say tonight, okay? I'm not going to say anything but the truth, as best I know it. But there may be some, I don't know, there may be some here in this room that won't like everything I have to say. There might be some, since I've been informed we're broadcasting worldwide, there may be some who watch online that don't agree with some of the things I might say tonight. But I still love you.
Right.
You can't stop me from loving you. And you'll understand what I'm talking about in just a minute. But we're here to glorify God and honor His Word. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 13, beginning in verse 19, it says, "Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords and spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found." We find this story. Now, before I get started, somebody's going to say, "You're taking this all out of context, and that's not what this is talking about." I already know all that. But the Lord showed me something here, and I just kind of want to show you what the Lord showed me, okay? But here it says, Israel here, under the leadership of Saul, for whatever reason, there was not a blacksmith found in all the land of Israel. And all they had in Israel was a bunch of farm tools.
Right.
A share and a coulter and an axe and a mattock and a fork. They didn't anybody have a sword. And nobody had a sword. And I just got to thinking about all these translations. Okay? And I kind of just... what happened to all the swords?
Right.
The Philistines were the enemies of Israel, yet the Israelites didn't have anything to fight with.
Right.
I mean, they had some farm tools. So there was no... They couldn't even make a spear.
Right.
I mean, the enemy done slicked somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Done slicked somebody and took all the swords. They didn't have not a sword in the place.
Right.
Except for Saul and Jonathan.
Right.
And all they had was a bunch of farm tools. So they had a coulter. And the first thing here, they had a share. Best I could figure out studying, and some of you old timers know what I'm talking about, a plow share is, there's a part on the bottom of a plow, the plow point, we called it, that you can change it out, that cuts the soil to turn it on the plow. Well, I didn't have a one of those, but I got a thing we used to turn a lot of soil with.
Yeah.
Some of you youngers after church will show you these things. So there's a hoe. All right. And then what was next there? A coulter. It's really going to get you kids going. I studied that out, and it's a sickle. Y'all ever seen one of them?
Yeah.
You ever use one?
Yeah.
Cut your grass?
Yeah.
That's your lawnmower. That's your lawnmower. Yeah. You can tell that one's been used for a while. Yeah, bad memories right there. Yeah. Emmy done slicked them. Done took all the swords and give them, they got the farm tools. So when it comes time to battle, and they sit down there and it came to pass in the day of battle, they're going to go to battle with these things.
Yeah.
And what was next there, preacher?
Axe.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Old double bitted axe. Of course, they use these log, competition fellas now use a single bit axe. And they sharpen that thing like a razor. But you notice there, they couldn't even sharpen their own tools.
Right.
They
had to take it down to the enemy to get them to sharpen their tools. What was next there? A mattock? Yeah. That's what you plow your garden with. I bet the preacher's dug up a garden with that before.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Especially in a rock pile.
Yeah.
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 Is it?
Uh-huh.
And then we got this thing.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Been a while back since... I was just a boy when I seen the last haystack. I helped bale a haystack when I was a boy. You know, everybody don't know how to use that thing. You got to learn how to turn it over. It won't let go if you just try to pitch with it. You got to roll that over. You got to roll that thing over. Them boys down there in Israel had the enemies bearing down on them. You read the rest of the chapter there. And they didn't have a thing to fight with but this.
Right.
Now, if we're going to fight, you might beat somebody up with those. You might do pretty good for a while. But what I want is one of these. Come on, Jared. Pick out whichever one you want. I'll take you on.
I'll take
the
sword.
Well, you know all these folks that got these books. And I'm not saying that you can't maybe do a little bit with those. But I want to tell you what, you can do a lot with this. Because if you read on in chapter 14, Jonathan and his armor bearer, Jonathan had one. But he had the Lord.
Right. That's good.
And they whooped the whole place.
Because
he had a sword.
Come on.
But a lot of people have these. You see what they are there. Some of the popular ones at ASV, NIV. What are you going to do when the enemy shows up and starts fighting? Listen, they'll say, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
you tell
us
what
they're.
Yeah.
It ain't close. It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
I don't know if you know this or not, but things that are different are not the same.
That is right.
I think as a preacher wrote that, a book entitled that one time. I thought, boy, that's brilliant. Well, let's just look here. They had those things. Philistines had their swords.
Yeah.
Now we're talking physical battle here with these.
Sure.
Let's just go now and look. We're fighting a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
Okay, and these are just pictures. What's going on?
Right.
And we read there in verse 22, so it came to pass in the day of battle. Well, what's that tell you? That tells me that there was a battle.
Yeah.
There was a day come when they had to fight.
Yeah.
And there they were with nothing but a bunch of farm tools. Now, they could beat and batter, and you might get a good lick in with a double-bitted axe and all that. But I want to tell you something. A sword, a good sharp sword. Do you know a good sharp sword will cut through bone the same as it will flesh?
Yeah.
I mean, you read about David taking Goliath's sword and chopping his head off.
Right.
I bet he didn't have to swing too many times to do it.
Right.
I'm talking those things were deadly.
Yeah.
They were deadly. But I'll tell you, it says in the day of battle. Now, the day of battle, I don't know if you know this or not. I'm preaching to the choir, but we're in a fight.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
We're in a battle. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 tells us that we're in a battle. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12, the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. We do have an enemy. You look in Matthew chapter 13, and you'll find we have an enemy, and he's a brave enemy. Okay? Matthew chapter 13, verse number 25, the Bible says, there it says, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You know the story of the wheat and the tares? Drop down to verse 28. It says, he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. This red letter is Jesus talking. The enemy's done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then we go and gather them up? And you look down in verse 39, he makes it plain. It says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil.
That's right.
Our enemy is the devil.
Yeah, right.
Well, in the day of battle, if we're going to fight a battle, we got to have an armor.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 6 tells us about our armor.
Yeah.
Beginning in verse 10, it says there, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Uh-huh.
Now listen to this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Right.
I love you.
Right.
You're not my enemy.
Right.
I love you folks online.
Yes.
You're not my enemy.
Amen.
But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then it tells us our armor. It says, wherefore take to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And down in verse number 17, it says, this piece says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit,
yeah,
which is the Word of God.
Right.
So this is our sword.
Right. Yes, sir.
This is our sword.
Yes.
Those things are just farm tools.
Right.
They might be good for raising taters and pitching hay and all that kind of stuff. But listen, we're fighting a battle with the enemy, the devil.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're on God's side.
Yes.
And God gave us the sword to fight with.
Yes.
And He's kept it for us.
Amen.
And He will keep it for us. And I'm glad we're in a church where I don't, when I talk about the Word of God, I don't have to say a King James Bible.
Amen.
We know it's the King James Bible. And now, I'm not going to fuss over this, but I've been reading, and I've quit calling it King James Version or KJV. It's a KJB. It's a King James Bible. Those other things are versions. This is God's Word. This is, as far as I'm concerned, the only Bible that... And by the way, I was thinking about this, you know, we send our kids, and I'm not against people going to school and getting education. I believe a lot too, and all this. But there are some of our Christian colleges and seminaries now who have these Greek and Hebrew classes, and they'll tell their students to take they teach them to read Greek. And then they can give them a Greek New Testament or something. And they'll tell them, take this home and get your lexicons and all this kind of thing. And you write out your own translation. Hogwash. Hogwash. I don't... Anybody that thinks they're smarter than God to start with, or even smarter than those men that translated this in 1611... They started in 1604 and took them until 1611. 7 years to translate this. Anybody that thinks they're smarter than those men have not done a study of those guys in their life, because there never has been nor ever will be a group of men as intelligent and as knowledgeable in what they did with this book. There never will be another group as good as those men.
Right.
I mean, some of those guys 4 or 5 years old could speak many languages.
Right.
I mean, they were God sent, I believe. God had His hand in the whole thing.
Yes.
I believe that.
And anyway, we have an armor. And we read about it. Not only do we have an armor, and by the way, I like to talk about our standing. You know, we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory.
Right.
We've already won.
Yes. Yes.
And because we've already won, we have a responsibility to live for Christ. And we have all the weapons we need. I could read them all there, but we're just focused on the sword tonight. And not only that, we have an example of how to fight in Matthew chapter 4. Now, I know this is just as simple as it can be, and I'm doing exactly what the preacher said the other night. Is we're just trying to get you to see.
Right.
Just trying to reinforce, get you to see. We have an example. We're in a fight. We have an enemy. We know who our enemy is. It's the devil. It's not any flesh and blood. It's the prince and powers of the air. It's an unseen enemy, really.
Yes.
But he's there.
Yes, he is.
He's there. And we read in Matthew chapter 4, beginning of verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You don't think you have an enemy that will tempt you? He tempted the very Son of God.
Right.
When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made of bread." But he answered and said, "It is written."
Yeah.
You read on down in verse 7. He said, Jesus said unto him again, "It is written."
Amen.
In verse 10, Jesus said to him the third time, "It is written." So we know we're in a battle. We know who our enemy is, and we have an example of how to fight him.
Yes.
With the Word of God.
Right.
Yes. So you've been sharpening your sword lately? Any of you ever read Louis L'Amour books?
Oh, yes.
Anybody ever read Louis L'Amour?
Yes.
You read them about the sockets?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know Tail Socket? You know, they decided they was going to make a TV miniseries out of that. And I know we're a heathen, but I watched it. But old Tail Socket, every time he was doing anything, just sitting around talking or anything, he was filing on that knife. He was sharpening that knife. Oh, he had him a big knife. He was sharpening that knife. Why was he sharpening that knife? Because he knew there was going to come a time when the enemy was going to show up and he's going to cut him. He's going to use it. So we got a sword.
Absolutely.
So I got three things I want to talk about, and we won't be long. First of all, is we need a proper weapon. And this is the one. Need a proper weapon. We need the right tool to fight with. Swords are not farm tools.
No.
I like over there in Nehemiah, whenever the enemy was giving them trouble, and they were building on the wall, you know. So they decided what we'll do is we'll have a trowel in one hand to put the mortar for the rocks, and we'll have a sword in the other hand. And that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be working. But we ought to always be ready to fight.
Yes, amen.
Now listen, I'm not talking about fighting physical fight. I'm talking about spiritual fight.
Amen.
We don't need no fussing and fighting.
Amen.
We don't.
Amen.
That's right.
Word of God will do the work.
Yeah.
I think the reason we do a lot of fussing and fighting and arguing is because we don't think God's Word is strong enough to do the job that He sent us to do.
Right.
And He's already told us that His Word would not return void.
Amen.
But accomplish that Word that He sent it. So why don't we use the thing? Why don't we use it?
Yeah, right.
Why don't we use it? Hey, we need a proper weapon. Swords are not farm tools. We need a good sharp sword. You know, Hebrews 4:12, I believe, says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Dividing asunder the joints and marrow and the discerner thoughts and intents of the heart. Something like that. I might have mispronounced that a little, and misquoted that a little bit. But listen, we need a proper fighting instrument. But also, we need a prepared soldier.
Yeah. That's good.
We need a prepared soldier. Now listen, I might get a little too deep for you here now. I'm not talking about... we got some veterans in here, a few. When you went into the service, did they just hand you a gun and take you to battle? No. First thing they did was treat you like a dog, keep you up all night. I mean, they were preparing you for battle. They're getting you ready for battle. They were preparing your body and mind for the battle. A lot of Christians, we need to realize that if we get our mind right, who has a preacher from out in Iowa come, said it's all up here. We need to prepare ourselves for battle.
Yes.
In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hey, we go to... and once again, listen. We're fighting from a position of victory.
Yes,
amen. Get that in your head. We're fighting a spiritual battle. Go with me to Romans chapter 7. Let me show you what I think a lot of Christians do, and I've done it myself. We've probably all done it. Romans chapter 7. And begin with verse 14. Paul speaking through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I get that. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I think a lot of Christians read those verses, and they use them to make excuse why we fail. Why we mess up. Why we do what we do. I just can't help myself. I don't quit reading right there.
That's right.
It says, O wretched man that I am, get that in our minds. We're wretches. Wretches. No count. No good. Dirty. Filthy. We can't do nothing right. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And I think we divide the Bible a lot of times when we shouldn't. Just keep reading. Go to chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen, we know how the flesh is. We just read it over there in Romans chapter 7. But Jesus Christ has delivered us from that. He's delivered us from that. Hey, listen, get in your mind. We're preparing for battle. If you go into battle thinking I'm going to lose, I'm going to mess up, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Hey, listen, we're never going to win. We're never going to win. We're going to be fighting and, oh man, I'm just down today and downer tomorrow and more down the next day. And maybe I'll get on the mountaintop next year one day. And listen, forget that foolishness. It says, for the law of the Spirit, I'm verse 2, of life in Jesus Christ hath made me free.
Yes.
Free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that was weak through the flesh, we know that. We know that we're weak in the flesh. All right? God sending His own Son in lifeless to sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. And listen, go down to verse 11. It said, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, are you saved?
Amen.
Jesus dwells in you. Like a preacher's been trying to tell some Wednesday nights, hey, He's in us. He's in us. We're saved. We're not living in the flesh anymore. Quit living in the flesh. Quit living in the flesh. Quit living in the flesh. Start walking in the Spirit. It says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus up from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Do you get that? Hey, He quicken your mortal bodies. Hey, listen, what we need to do is heed the Holy Spirit of God. Heed the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, look down in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Listen, what we need. What we need is a proper weapon. A sword. A sword. What we need is a proper weapon. But what we also need is the prepared soldier.
Yeah.
A prepared soldier. Listen, not only do we need a prepared soldier, we need a practiced soldier. Go to Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 11. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What we need, folks, is a proper sword, a proper weapon. That's a King James Bible. But what we need, when you put that thing in your hand, hey, we need a proper weapon. But we need a prepared soldier. Prepare ourselves by reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God. And this thing, read verse number 6, or chapter 6 to verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, laying not again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Hey, listen. What we need is some soldiers that will get them a proper weapon.
Yes, sir.
And learn how to use it.
Yeah.
Prepare your mind. Prepare your mind, first of all. Read the Word and believe the Word. Listen, we're not fighting for a victory. We're fighting from victory. We've already won.
Yeah.
We've already won. Daddy's sitting on the porch and we're on the front yard playing. There ain't nobody going to bother us.
Yeah.
Listen, by the way, if I die right now, I'll see you later.
Yeah. Right.
I like that song. No guilt in life, no fear in death. Christ alone. Listen, the prepared soldier has his mind prepared to go into battle, and he's not afraid to go into battle. I mean, you know, when you go in the military and they get you, they do everything in the world to you, try to break you, because they know the day's coming. They know the day's coming when they're going to put you out there on the battlefield, and you need to be prepared in your mind and prepared, knowledgeable how to use that weapon. You with me?
Yes, sir.
Three things. A proper weapon.
Yes.
A prepared soldier.
Yes.
And a practiced soldier. Not only do we need to learn it, we need to practice it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves.
Good.
Listen, folks, we don't need none of these.
Right.
We're not growing a garden.
That's right.
No farm tools.
We're not growing a garden here. We're trying to win souls. We're trying to win a battle.
Amen.
It's not a physical battle against flesh and blood.
Right.
It's a spiritual battle against the devil and his imps, against the world, the world's devices. And we have to do it with this book.
Amen.
You've got to believe, we've got to believe that this Word of God is alive and well and powerful and able to change lives, hearts and lives. I know it's able to change hearts and lives. It changed mine. There are drunkards in here. Hey, there are drunkards in here that don't drink no more. Explain that. You know what you were before you were saved. You know what you are now. Explain that. Hey, I was dead and now I'm alive. Explain that. He'll say, you know you're saved? Yes. Say, you're awful arrogant. No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. God sent His dear Son. God sent His dear Son looking for an old boy out there in Ramsey under a laurel bush. Said, you're lost. You need saved. You saved my soul. And I'm not as prepared and I'm not as practiced as I ought to be. But listen, I've got a proper weapon. I've got a proper weapon. Listen, back to the beginning. Don't let the enemy take your weapon.
Amen.
Don't let anybody convince you that this is not the Word of God.
Amen.
Listen, why? You know, I get all over the Bible when I start studying. But you know, Jesus brought them little kids up and says, except you become like this little child. Well, you know, these kids here don't doubt this book.
Excellent.
Don't enter their mind to doubt this. Don't enter their mind to change the words. Well, when did we get so smart? When did we get that smart? Listen, folks, I love you. Hope you had a good time tonight. But we need a proper weapon, a King James Bible. We need to be prepared soldiers. We need to be practiced soldiers, ready for battle when the day of battle comes. And by the way, it's here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, love You. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, take my feeble message and help somebody somewhere, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.